Show you what a guy with no arms and legs could do. And then I want to enable you to do that and more. Because this morning, we're week three of a series. Week one, we talked about the fact that, you know, God has given each one of us spiritual gifts that we receive through the Holy Spirit when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we're not talking about that today. And then last week, we talked, Jason came up and he preached on the fact that God has given us each a different passion and a different heart to do ministry, and that we ought to pursue that. And so we're not talking about that today. But today we're talking about how God has specifically given us skills. He's given us abilities. He's given us talents. And so I'm not going to delay. We're going to jump right into it. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. While you're getting there, I'm going to give you this disclaimer. I'm not holding any punches this morning. You know, we are Grace Church. You may have noticed it on the sign out there when you drove in, or on our website when you somehow found us. So you may have seen it on my t-shirt. We're Grace Church. But this morning we're going to have a little bit of Truth Church in us as well. And we're not going to hold any punches. So hopefully you have found your way there. We're going to be reading from something called the Parable of the Talents. And how convenient that somehow along the way, a talent, which is meant to have monetary value, it's a currency, it's like cash in a sense, but that Jesus makes an application to our talents and our abilities there as well. So I'm going to pick up my Bible. We're going to start at chapter 25, verse 14, and it says here, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another he gave 2 talents, and to yet another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received only the 1 talent went off. He dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See that I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 talent came. He said, master, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I went out and hid your talents in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers. So then when I come back, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have it in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." It'd be really easy this morning for me to just say, hey, be like the first two. But I feel like we got to address the second one too. And then, boom, I've actually added a third. So, hey, if you're one of those people that you're like, I want to know how much longer we have left in this service, there are 3 people we're talking about today. And so when I get to the third, that means we're coming to a close, all right? So first person, let's dive right in. Those who understood and obeyed. The first person, those who understood and obeyed. God's desire is for us to use our gifts to grow his kingdom and to bring him glory. That's our purpose. That's why he's given us skills. That's why he's equipped us in the way that he's equipped us. And you could use that about all of the elements of shape. But specifically, we're using it today to talk about the fact that God has given you skills, talents, and abilities to grow his kingdom and to bring him glory. And so here's what I wanted to do. You're like, well, what do you really have to talk about those first 2 people? Don't we get it? Pastor Paul, just tell us, be like them. Go do that. Verses 14 through here, be those people. No, because I believe you are those people. Some of you are that first person. The one who understood and has obeyed what the master has asked you to do. And so here's what I want to do this morning. I want to offer you a sincere thank you. I want to offer you a sincere thank you. Thank you for modeling Christ well. Thank you for equipping the saved and pursuing the lost, for carrying the weight of ministry with us. Thank you. And on behalf of me and the other people in this church and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, well done, good and faithful servant. All sincerity, no jokes, no frills. Thank you. It's because of you that there are people in the buns of some of these chairs in here this morning. It is because of you that we have a well-staffed youth ministry, that we have a highly functioning Awana program, that we're able to minister to kids right now in these rooms while you sit in here and kind of have to put up with me for a little bit. It's because of you people that do that. And it's really not just a sincere thank you, but it's really thank you for producing evidence. You know, Scripture talks a lot about fruit, and that fruit is evidence of Christ living in us. And that the fruit is, some of you are the fruit that you're here because of what someone else did. Some of you are fruitful in other ways, but ultimately the evidence of life, or the evidence of your faith in Christ, is the fruit that he's producing through you, through some of your gifts, your talents, and your abilities. One of the coolest things, I'll tell you, I could stand up here and tell stories about youth ministry all day, and I want to share one today. A few months back, we were teaching on evangelism and the importance of our students really capitalizing on the fact that they are on a campus with hundreds of their peers. And we don't even get that opportunity as adults many times, and that they should capitalize on that opportunity. And we were talking about that, and we got to small group, and I teach a group of high school guys, and I said, all right, guys, you heard me preach. I don't really need to preach again. So we got to accomplish something in here. We got to be encouraged in here. We got to do something. And so I looked at them, and I'd be like, how did you get here? And they kind of looked at me like, I drove. Duh. And I'm like, okay, good point, good point. No. How did you come to find yourself in a church? How is it that when we sing, you know that you stand and you sing? How is it that when we teach, you know to sit there, be quiet, take notes, pay attention? How did you get to that point? And a lot of them went around the room like, well, my parents, dodgeball, pizza. You know, that's how they found themselves to come find themselves in a church setting. And then we got to that one kid, and he's the one that you can't get him to be quiet when you don't want him to talk, and you're afraid when you ask him to talk. It was that kid. And I looked at him and I said, it's your turn to share. How did you come to get here? And I think we were all shocked because he didn't say anything. He pointed across the room at one of his peers. And he said, that person invited me. And it's because of that that kid is, you know, a Christian today, that he's a regular attender in our youth programs, and that he's a normal face to be seen here on this church campus. And I thought, that's fruit. That's evidence of someone understanding how God has given them skills and gifts and abilities and talents, and he said, use them to further my kingdom and to bring me glory. And that was the perfect example of how we are to do that as a church. One example, that is. But what's interesting from our passage today is it says that they were entrusted with 5, 2, and 1, each according to their ability. And, you know, the first two obviously went and doubled the account that the master had given them. And he didn't just say, great job, thanks, I'm now even wealthier, appreciate it. He said, now I'm going to give you more responsibility. And so I'm supposed to translate that today's day and age. I'm supposed to bring that here to you and consider how that applies to us here at Grace Church. And here's how I believe it applies, that some of you have been extremely faithful in your areas of service, but that it's time to graduate. But that it's time that God might be calling you to a place of more responsibility. That maybe years ago, when you heard the word teach and your name in the same sentence, you freaked out a little bit. But maybe through watching and observing that you're able to move from holding a baby to now teaching those older children. Or maybe you're able to lead a small group. Or, you know, we're going to talk about this in the coming weeks about what maybe graduating to a new point of service looks like. But when you're faithful with what God has given you, he wants to challenge you even more. He wants to put you in these positions. So I want you to consider, and some of you are like, oh, come on. I just got comfortable. You know, teaching is going to require me to open my Bible on a day other than Sunday. Yes, it will. But maybe that's the more responsibility that the master is going to be asking you to sign up for. Next point. The master has not yet returned, which means our work is not finished. Love what it says, that the master returned and then he took account of what his servants have accomplished. Our master is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, God. And he hasn't returned, which means there's still work to be done, people. And some of you look and you kind of look at that and it's like this huge weight, like, oh man, I'm so tired. But I look at it and I go, praise God, he hasn't returned yet. Because that means I can go and invite more people to join me in his kingdom. That through my abilities and my talents, hopefully God will use that to reach them. There's a movie that I'm going to encourage you all not to waste your life watching, but it has a quote, and it's a quote, and Napoleon Dynamite says this. Sorry, I'm the youth pastor. This is what you get when you invite the youth pastor to teach. Chicks dig guys with skills. You can't make this stuff up. It's straight out of the movie, I swear. Chicks dig guys with skills. Well, here's this. God loves it when we use what he's given us to grow his kingdom. God loves it when we use what he's given us to grow his kingdom. Again, don't watch the movie. Just understand that there's God sees value in us, and he has given us something so that we can do something with it. Not so that we could sit on it. Not so that we can be selfish with it, but so that we would use it to further his kingdom. There you go. The first person. One third done, people. Hang in there with me. Those who understand and obey. The second person. This is where the hate mail comes. I'm telling you. If you're convicted, it's the Holy Spirit. I'm not staring at any one of you in particular. I promise. Second person. Those who make excuses. Those who make excuses. You know, it doesn't say those who were underqualified. It doesn't say those who were unable. It's those who made excuses. You lazy, wicked servant. You fearful servant. Those who make excuses to not do what God has called them to do. I'm going to say something, and I promise I'm not staring at any one of you. I hate it when people say, I don't have time for that. I hate it when people say, I don't have energy for that. And you want to know why I hate that? Because it's a complete farce. God has given us time, and he has given us energy. We choose how to use it. So really what you're saying is not that I don't have time or not that I don't have energy. You're saying, I don't have priority for that. That is not important enough to me for me to pursue that. You see, these things are standardized. You know, some days I have more energy than others, and some days I have more available time than others, but it doesn't negate the fact that God has given you something to be used, and that time and energy are not the excuse. I'm not saying you need to take everything. The next time Pastor Jason comes and tells you to do something, it's okay to not have the time and energy to do it as long as you're doing something else. Some of you are like, that's my excuse right there. I'm doing something else, right? But that ought not be your excuse. I love this. James 2:14-17. Don't flip there. Just follow along with me here as I read. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing and you say, goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. That's where my heart goes. I go, man, I never want to be characterized as someone who's dead. I want when people see God in me, that they see life, that they see fruit, that they see evidence that exists there. This passage is commonly misconstrued as your works will save you. That's not what this is saying here. It's saying if the Christ truly abides in you, that there is going to be something happening in your life through you. That the works is the evidence of a faith in a God that lives inside of you, not the works save you. What is your excuse? What excuse is keeping you dead when God has called you to be alive? I was thinking back. It's always good to reflect on different times. And a time I was reflecting on is the family dynamics that I have. I am the middle child. You know that because I'm loud and obnoxious. And I was thinking about this and the dynamics here. And here's, I have an older brother, younger sister, and here's something I came across and I went, oh, that is so true. So true. And it basically says this. The older child makes the rules. The middle child is the reason there needs to be rules. And the youngest, those rules don't apply to them. Sound right, parents? And I was thinking about this because I recalled a time, I don't remember all the specifics, but I remember I was in my room, and my younger sister, who is the angel of the family, 4.0, chores done a day early, you know, stand by mom, yes, mother, yes, father, you know, making my brother and I look like dirt, okay? I love her now. Then, I hope she doesn't listen to this. And I remember she came in and she was trying to boss me around. I'm like, I'm 3 years older than you and a lot bigger. You back off. And she kept badgering me. I was probably messing around in my room when I was supposed to be cleaning it. And finally, we got to those magic words that changed my attitude from, you know, forget what this person's saying to maybe I should clue in and pay attention. And it's when she said, Mom said. And so I quickly ran to Mom, verified that Mom did in fact say, and then went back and did what I was supposed to do. Because I understood who my master was. I understood who was the important one. I understood what voice was important. And I'm understanding this a little bit more because I have two children that sometimes drive me completely nuts. And other times they're a complete blessing. And I'm trying to introduce Heston, our older son, to some of the things of my past, and a lot of those are on VHS, so we just put those in a box and put them away. But some of them made it to DVD, and one of the things that made it was the movie Toy Story. And if you haven't seen it, I'm sorry, it's going to be a little bit of a disconnect here, but in this movie, there's a character named Woody, and he's a cowboy, and he is a toy, and he's one of the favorite toys, and he comes to an impasse. And he has to choose, and everyone watching the movie knows the decision he ought to make. But the movie leaves you in wonder if he's actually going to make the right decision. And you want to know what leads him to make ultimately the correct decision? It was understanding who he belonged to. You see, on the bottom of Woody's foot was the name Andy. And it was through understanding who he belonged to that he wasn't to make decisions based off of his own desires or his own self, but understanding that he belonged to someone and that because he belonged to someone that he had a purpose to bring them joy. If I was real tricky this morning, I would have put upside down stickers in the entryway so that when each one of you walked in, it would say God, and you could all look at the bottom of your shoe and see that you belong to God, and because you belong to God, you have a unique purpose to live and serve him. But I wasn't that tricky. So you're just going to have to imagine this morning that we did that. Understanding who you belong to. We belong to God. We've been bought with a price. That we aren't to live for ourselves, but that we are to live for him. You know who I think had trouble understanding that was the Israelites. And I think everyone goes back to them because they're kind of like the screw-ups of the Bible, right? You're like, oh, man, you want to see people with problems? Go check out the Israelites, right? They got all sorts of problems. And so I want to point to a particular instance. Numbers 13 is where this takes place. But essentially what's happened is they've sent 12 scouts to go and check out the land that God had promised them. And so they checked it out. They spent 40 days wandering, seeing all the different people and all the things. And they came back with this great sense of excitement. Word spread that the land was great, that it produced fruit, it had great natural resources, that it was beautiful. And so the people celebrated. But then a lie crept in. That the people were giants, that the buildings were fortified. And here's the lie, that they would be crushed if they attempted to take over that land. the land that the God who parted seas, who brought plagues, who was abiding by pillar of fire and cloud, promised them. They believed the lie that they would be crushed. What lie are you believing that is keeping you from using your abilities and talents for the Lord? What's keeping you from jumping? The number one reason people aren't jumping in is a fear of failure, a fear of unwanted attention, a fear of being too busy. You need to understand what your potential is, and then you need to choose to reach it. And some of you are like, I don't know what my potential is. I've never taught. I don't know what my potential is here because I've never done that. Well, we're going to have to figure it out, people. I'm not saying that just because you're committed to use your gifts and your abilities that it's all going to be crystal clear and everything's going to come together perfectly, but we're going to figure this out. And we're not going to leave you and be like, okay, thanks for volunteering. See you. That's not what we do. We want it to work. We want these things to go well. And so I understand your potential and reach it. Here's the interesting thing. God knows your potential because he gave it to you. He knows what you're capable of because he's made you that capable. And so what's interesting is, you know, I used to work at a bike shop, and it was a common thing that was like, work hard when the boss is around and play hard when he's not. That was kind of the mentality of my coworkers, and I was like, all right, guys, I feel like I'm paid for this hour, and I wouldn't feel great about it if I didn't do anything during it. So I'm going to go do something. You guys chill and do your own thing. And that was the mentality. But don't you think that God knows when we're shortchanging him? Remember, he knows your potential because he gave it to you. I think he also knows if we've reached our potential or not. I want you to consider, are we shortchanging God with our ability to use our ability to use our abilities? Seems weird, but I'll roll with it. Are we shortchanging him with what we're capable of helping him accomplish through us on this earth? Don't believe the lies that the devil tells you. You have a tremendous value to God's kingdom. I love this last part. It says this: you are part of God's plan to reach man. I think it's so easy to think, you know, the person next to me's got that covered. The guy with the microphone will take care of that. That it's someone else's responsibility. No, you are part of God's plan to reach man. Your spiritual gifts, your hearts and passions, and your skills are part of God's plan to reach man. That's the end of the second person. Hopefully you're still with me. Also, hopefully, you haven't discredited the fact that you could be that person. I think it's easy to say, understanding and obedience, that's obviously me. I've been in the church for years. Oh, person who makes excuses. Consider this the person next to you. And then I believe there's also a few people that fall into this third category. And I don't think that there's many in a church service, but it's possible that there's a few. And this third person is those who just simply do not know. I believe that people who have walked through this door and they're saying, I don't know how I got here, but I'm here and I'm listening and I'm engaged and I'm seeking and I'm trying to understand and I'm trying to figure this out. And so I want to invite you into a season, but I don't want to invite you into a long season. I want to invite you into a short season. Because I think we're great at contemplating things for a long time instead of simply doing them. And so if you're in this group, if you're the person who just doesn't know what's going on, that you're trying to figure it out, I want to invite you into a season of discovery, of figuring it out, of actually talking with someone and asking the questions that have probably gone through your mind every week as you've entered into this room. What does it mean to have a personal relationship with God? Why did those people get baptized? You said spiritual gifts, and I get them when I receive Christ as my Savior. Can I expect those any day now? What's going on? I mean, so season of discovery, people. Discover your spiritual gifts. Look into how God has uniquely given you a heart or a passion and how he's going to fuel that and spur that into a different area of ministry. Some of you have no business serving with children. But some of you do. And you ought to pursue that. Because God has uniquely gifted you. Discover what talents and what abilities God has given you. If you want the exhaustive list, I thought about putting it on the board, and I thought, they're not going to do anything but read that and think about it the whole time. You want it? It's in the book. Find the shape book. It's like three whole pages of check the box abilities and talents. But here's what I think is going to be more effective, and we're done with the people, and I'm closing it up. We're landing the plane now. And this is my challenge to you. Break bread with someone this week. Eat with someone this week. How many of you guys eat? Good. Okay, don't even have to raise your hand. I know you eat, people. Eat with someone, okay? Eat with someone who knows you. Eat with someone who will tell you the truth and slap you in the face with it if they have to, okay? Eat with that person. And some of you are like, oh, that sounds exhausting. You have priority for it, remember? You have energy for it. You have time for it because it's important. Tell them, when you sit with them, I want you to sit directly across from them, and here's what I want, and I'm going to say a bad word in church. Sit across from them and shut up. And I want them to pour into your life the gifts and talents and abilities that they have witnessed in you and just write them down. And then they're going to and you're going to say, here's the gifts and the talents and the abilities that I see in you. Because here's what we're good at. We're good at thinking. We're good at things that we're not good at. I told Katie a joke. She did not find it funny at all. Can you believe that? I never told that joke again. But here I was thinking I was the funniest guy around. Sometimes we need someone to speak truth and honesty into our lives. So take that, write it down. And then when you're done, this fantastic thing's going to happen. You're going to have a list of things that someone noticed you're good at. Strategize. How can I use that to grow God's kingdom? How can I use that to evangelize to friends? How can I use that to bring glory to God? And boom, you have an instant accountability partner sitting right across the table from you. And you're going to break bread again one day because we eat. And they're going to say, how did you specifically use this gift? How did you specifically use this gift? How are you pursuing this, that, and the next, and built-in accountability right there. Will you do that this week? I hope you will. Last thing. Don't discredit small abilities. We had a lady came up to me, and she said, I want to come and start hanging out and helping out on Wednesday nights. And I said, fantastic. We're always looking for new people to come and be a support for our students. And she said, I don't want to teach. I don't want to eat your cruddy youth food. I don't want to play dodgeball. I don't want to run around and chase people. I don't want to go to summer camp. She said, I just want to listen. This is about 6 months ago. That woman is a tremendous blessing to our students simply because sometimes we forget to listen. And it's interesting, without playing dodgeball, without chasing after students, to see those students begin to come to her. Simply because she said, God gave me two ears and one mouth for a reason. He wants me to listen more than I talk. Will you do that this week? Will you meet with someone? Will you talk about how you could use these specific gifts that God has given you to further his kingdom? Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning. Our desire is that we wouldn't be stagnant. Our desire is for movement. Our desire is for growth. Our desire is to grow in ourselves, grow in our ability to know you, grow in our ability to glorify you, and to pursue those so that they might do the same. God, I pray this week that you would stir in our hearts through your Holy Spirit those that we ought to meet with, those that we ought to break bread with, that we can be an encouragement, that we can point out things we've noticed in each other's lives, and God, that we can be excited about strategizing how we ought to reach people for you. God, we're pursuing that well done, good and faithful servant. We're pursuing a heart that is characterized by life and not by death. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Grace Church, thanks for coming this morning. Y'all are dismissed.